Most people are not aware of this, but the secret prayer for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost that we will read today is kind of famous. It's quoted in most of the books on the Mass because it is a very simple and succinct description of what the Mass does. St. Thomas Aquinas even quotes this prayer in his Summa. That is how ancient and well-known it is. The prayer says, "Grant us, O Lord, to assist at these mysteries frequently and worthily, because every time the commemoration of this victim is celebrated, the work of our redemption is carried out." This concise and somewhat cryptic statement tells us what the Mass is. It carries out the work of our redemption. So how does it do that? Well, our redemption took place when our Lord died on the cross for our sins. And what is the Mass? It is the representation of the death of Christ to God. We offer his death again to God in reparation for our sins and to obtain all graces and everything we need. The Church teaches that the Mass is infinitely more powerful than any other form of prayer. There is no other devotion that we can describe by saying that it carries out the work of our redemption. And what do we want more than anything else except to be redeemed? And therefore, the Mass is the greatest source of grace and the greatest help that we have to bring us to heaven. This is why the Church requires all her members to assist at Mass every single week on Sunday, and sometimes twice in a week when there is a holy day of obligation during the week, and requires this under pain of mortal sin. That is how seriously the Church takes this obligation, because she knows how much we need to attend Mass in order to save our souls. At the Second Vatican Council, the biggest problem that most good Catholics had was with the corruption of the Mass in the Novus Ordo. And for most people who resisted the changes, the number one priority for them was to find the Mass again. They searched high and low to find a priest who would offer the true Mass so they could attend, because they knew that that is how the work of their redemption is carried out, as the Church tells us. And people made huge sacrifices to get to a true Mass in the 1960s and later, including driving enormous distances or moving their whole family across the country to get to a true Mass. And this is a truly Catholic mentality. This is why these people had their faith preserved by God and everyone else did not. And this is not ancient history, but in fact, many people that did this are still alive. But it's sad to see that this great fervor of the remnant faithful at Vatican II is beginning to grow cold, as many traditional Catholics are starting to stop attending Mass for increasingly frivolous reasons and violating their Sunday obligation. And it's disturbing to see how once people come up with frivolous excuses not to attend Mass, it's almost impossible to bring them back to the practice of the faith. They become hardened and spiritually blind. This is a complex subject, so today I will only address the three most common excuses that people give for not attending Sunday Mass and see what the Church has to say about each one of them. The three excuses that people give the most are first, that they live too far away to come to Mass. Secondly, that they're old and feeble or sick. And thirdly, that they have to work instead of going to Mass on Sunday. Each of these reasons can justify missing Mass in certain circumstances, but not to the extent that a lot of people think that they can. Now, when a priest wants to look up a question like this, that is a bit more detailed than what you see discussed in a typical catechism, he turns to what are called theological manuals, large three-volume works of a couple of thousand pages that were written before Vatican II, usually in Latin, by the most learned theologians in the church that treat of these sorts of questions. And these books were used by bishops to teach priests in the seminary the moral law. And they give these books to priests so they can look up questions like this that come up. And these books are not just somebody's opinion, like reading somebody's website on the internet, but rather they are published by the bishops of the church, where they were before Vatican II, with their episcopal authority in order to teach the faithful. And therefore they come from the authority of the church, and Catholics are obliged to accept what these books teach. The first book I read was the manual of an Austrian theologian named Father Nolden, since he wrote the most detailed explanation of the legitimate excuses for skipping Mass. He says, first of all, that people who live a long ways from a church are excused from attending Mass every Sunday in certain circumstances, and he quotes St. Alphonsus Liguori as his authority here. Before I read his teaching here, I should explain that there is a widespread belief among traditional Catholics today that there is some sort of invisible line or a radius drawn around every chapel in such a way that anyone who lives outside of that radius is exempt from any obligation of attending Mass at all, and that people who live inside of this radius are required to attend Mass every Sunday. Most people define the radius of that circle as being 1 hour's travel time, so that a lot of people believe today that anyone who lives more than an hour's drive from church is never required to attend Mass at all. This is completely false. I'm very curious where this idea came from, but of all of the theologians that I consulted, which was about half a dozen, they all quoted different distances that are significantly greater than that, and some of them said it's not possible to set a definite distance at all. In any case, Father Nolden quotes St. Alphonsus Liguori, the greatest moral theologian in the history of the church, the most learned man on this sort of question that has ever lived, whose teachings we have to hold in the highest regard. And he says that St. Alphonsus says that a healthy person who has to walk an hour and 15 minutes is therefore not obliged to attend Mass every Sunday. So even having to walk an hour's distance is not enough of a distance to be excused from skipping Mass at all for St. Alphonsus. Obviously, if the weather is bad or if someone has health problems, the distance would be shorter than that. But this is the baseline. But then St. Alphonsus says that people who can ride some sort of vehicle to Mass, in his day that would have been a horse and carriage, those people are not excused from this obligation unless their travel time is at least twice that much. In other words, St. Alphonsus says that someone is obliged to attend Mass every Sunday unless he must travel at least 2.5 hours each way to church and back. The second excuse that people give is from people who are old or who have health problems, who automatically consider themselves exempt from this obligation. And I have run into many sad cases of people who spend their week doing things that are physically more difficult than going to Mass on Sunday. And then they claim that they are exempt from any obligation to attend Mass on Sunday because of their health problems. Father Nolden rejects this excuse also. He says, cases like this must be determined by the judgment of prudent men. And most people judge this on their own opinion. They don't consult any prudent people before reaching this conclusion. In any case, he says that a sick person is only exempt from attending Mass if his health problems prevent him from doing other tasks of similar difficulty, such as going out and transacting business or running errands, or buying food or things like that. So if someone can run errands that are of comparable difficulty to attending Mass, then they are obliged to attend Mass on Sunday. The worst case of this I've ever seen was a parishioner who lived only a few minutes away from church, who claimed to be too sick to even stagger out of the car and walk a few feet into the parking lot, into the church and sit in a pew for Mass. One time I ran into her in an aisle of Walmart as I was shopping one day, and she was not only walking just fine, but she was even pushing a shopping cart down the aisle. Such a person obviously has no legitimate reason to skip Mass on Sunday. But this person has never been to church since then, and not in many, many years. And in my experience, people who begin to skip Mass habitually for frivolous reasons almost never repent. And I'll explain a little more about that later, why that's the case. As far as people whose job requires them to work on Sunday, these people can only do that if there is a grave difficulty in their getting permission to have Sunday morning off. They only need a couple of hours, really. But if they would only suffer a moderate inconvenience for insisting on having some time to go to Mass on Sunday morning, such as if they would just become unpopular with their boss, they are required to suffer this hardship in order to fulfill the law. And now, this is normally not an excuse anyway, because people have religious rights about the practice of religion, and it's actually illegal for people to be fired for the practice of their faith, and this includes to fulfill the Sunday obligation that their faith requires. An employer is required by American law to accommodate someone who must attend Mass on Sunday. So this excuse is normally not legitimate anyway. Nevertheless, Father Nolden says that people who are frequently prevented from attending Sunday Mass by their work, they have to seek employment somewhere else and as soon as possible. And this is something I almost never see people do that use this excuse. The second theologian I read was a Dominican named Father Prumer, who wrote in the mid-1950s. His explanation of when great distance becomes a justifying reason to skip Mass is similar to Father Nolden's, and most of these theologians teach more or less the same thing. He says that we actually cannot state a mathematically precise distance from the church for this rule, because he says it just depends on too many factors. But he says that a journey of 1 hour is not a grave inconvenience for most people. So he explicitly denies the popular error that people who have to drive an hour to church are not obliged to come. In fact, he goes even further than Father Nolden. He says something that is particularly relevant today. He says, we have to note that those Catholics who live in pagan lands and are far from any Catholic church, even though they don't sin by omitting Mass, since it is impossible for them to go to Mass, nevertheless, they are obliged to try as hard as they can to leave such places and move closer to Mass. The reason for this, he says, is that sad experience tells us that they will otherwise run the danger of their faith, and gradually will abandon all practice of religion. And if this isn't the case, very often people who are even legitimately impeded from attending Mass still fall into lukewarmness and sometimes abandon the faith, because the work of their redemption is not carried out, as the Church tells us in the secret prayer today. If that can even happen with people that are legitimately incapable of attending Mass, how much more so for people who choose not to attend Mass through sloth or indifference? Father Prumer also says that even travelers are not excused from attending Mass unless their trip is performed for a just and proportionate reason. He says that nowadays a lot of people travel for recreation, but they have to remember that they can't omit to hear Mass on account of vacation. They have to find a Mass to attend where they go, or go to a place where they can attend Mass. As far as people who miss Mass because of work, Father Prumer says that even if they can occasionally be excused for this reason, they can't be excused for missing Mass all the time for this reason. And if they are always prevented from attending Mass on Sunday, they either have to quit their job if possible, or they have to attend Mass during the week instead. He says people just can't stop attending Mass, not for any reason. And he concludes with a very chilling warning that I have seen fulfilled in many souls that have stopped attending Mass for frivolous reasons. He says, the faithful must be exhorted constantly to hear Mass diligently on days of obligation. He says, even if omitting Mass is not always a sin because of excusing causes, nevertheless, sad experience tells us that a frequent omission of Mass produces the most disastrous effects. He says that those effects are, quote, faith and religion gradually grow cold. Man is immersed in temporal affairs. He becomes weak, he falls into temptation, and he easily rushes into numerous sins. And again, this is because the Mass is the source of grace. People who cut themselves off from grace will lose their faith and their morals. In any case, I don't want to give the impression either that there's some sort of boundary around each chapel that is some sort of it's like a liturgical cliff, such that everyone who lives within that boundary is required to attend Mass every Sunday, and everyone who lives outside of it never has to come at all. This is explicitly denied by a Belgian theologian, a Dominican named Father Merkelbach, who wrote in the late 30s. He said that people are obliged to attend Mass unless they have to walk 1.25 leagues, which is equivalent to 4.9 miles by our measurements. And he says at a much greater distance than that if someone can ride a vehicle. But he specifies that it is even harder than that to justify a habitual absence from Mass. So even a 5-mile walk each way to get to church excuses someone from coming every single Sunday, but he says that even that doesn't excuse a habitual absence from church. Someone still has to come as often as they can. So you see how lax people's standards are today in comparison with the teaching of Catholic theologians. I also read an American theologian, a Jesuit named Father Davis, who says something similar. This is in the 1940s. You see, one decade after another, we keep seeing the same teaching. He says that people who are prevented by their employers from attending Mass must find other employment. The last theologian I want to quote is Father Vermeersch, a Jesuit who was a professor of theology at the Jesuit seminary in Rome, which is called the Gregorianum, and is one of the most prestigious seminaries in the world. And he wrote in the mid-1920s. He teaches basically the same thing as the other theologians, but he adds the point that it is harder to see a justification for a habitual omission of Mass than it is to be justified to skip just one Sunday. In other words, a reason that is significant enough to justify missing Mass one time would have to be a much greater reason to justify a frequent omission of Mass. And he says that the reason for this is that because it's the law of God that we have to hear Mass at least now and then. And if someone is not able to attend Mass on Sunday, then he is required and obliged to hear Mass at least sometimes during the week. And then as far as sick people go, he lays down the rule that someone can only use illness or infirmity or old age as an excuse for skipping Sunday Mass if that same condition also prevents him from visiting his friends. So being sick or old by itself is not an automatic excuse. And if people claim to be too sick ever to go to Mass, but they go to the store or they go to visit friends, and even numerous relatively unimportant doctor's appointments, obviously if they have to go to the hospital for a medical crisis, that's not really the same thing, but numerous routine appointments during the week that are physically more difficult than going to Mass, then they are obliged to go to Mass. Father Vermeer says that people who frequently have to miss Mass because of work must get a different job. As far as the distance that would excuse from attending Mass every Sunday, he says that even having to walk for a whole hour each way would not be an excuse to skip Mass at all. But if someone would have to walk for an hour and a quarter, that would excuse them sometimes. But if they can use transportation, he even mentions being able to ride a bicycle to Mass, then he says that they would have to be a greater distance from church than that in order to be excused. It's a very sad thing to see what happens to souls that skip Mass without a legitimate excuse. There is nothing that blinds a person spiritually more quickly and often more permanently than skipping Mass. And it is very rare to see such souls ever repent. The saints have said that the Mass is the compendium of all of God's love for us. It is the source of grace. Because the sacrifice of Christ purchased for us every grace. And it is the Mass that applies the graces that Christ purchased to our souls. So when people turn away from the source of grace, they cut themselves off from God and from His love. We tend to think of the worst sinners as people who are immersed in impurities or injustice. But people that commit even those sins, if they attend Mass every Sunday, they usually still practice the faith. They usually attempt to turn away from their sins and repent, even if it's only to make their Easter duty. And they don't necessarily always persevere in their repentance, but you still see them continuing to try to fight against their sins. And you don't see anything like that in people that stop attending Mass. They become filled with presumption and pride, and they refuse to listen to any warning from the priest or from good people that they have to come back to church. They have to fulfill their obligation to attend Mass. And it is a very rare thing to see someone come back to the Mass once they have turned away from it. There is a German proverb, "The way you spend your Sunday will be the way you spend the day that you die." This is very true. People who spend their Sundays attending Mass, where the work of their redemption is carried out, will die redeemed in many cases. But people who spend their Sundays away from Mass and away from the work of their redemption will die without God and without His grace and will be lost forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.